I don't think more than months go by before I can go to the book of Romans, and I just am so drawn there. The Lord, there's just so much manna in there. I'm going to be looking at a verse, this one verse, and if you take notes, I've entitled it Spiritual Processing. Spiritual Processing. With that in mind, Romans 8:29, thus saith the Lord, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Before we look at our text, let's bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to us. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for this text. Great, great promises are in this text, and we're just going to cover a few of them, Lord. But we do pray that as we speak on this text, that you, Lord, would speak directly to your people. I would just be the glass that holds the words, but you speak directly, Lord, to your people. Bring conviction where that's needed. Salvation, Lord, even where that's needed. Edification, comfort, whatever it is, Lord, that these words have, we pray that you would bless us with it and open our minds to it. And Lord, just as importantly, let us leave here with applications. And then, Lord, remind us in this upcoming week to use these applications to help our lives to bear fruit for you and to glorify you for all the wonderful things you've done, you're doing, and you will do. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Spiritual processing. I don't know if you know this or not, but life is a process. I was led to this application, actually, in the verse in a diner. I was speaking to my wife about something, and out of my mouth came the thought, or out of my head came the thought, that we are being processed every day as human beings. And as I've told you many times, what's true in the physical world is also true in the spiritual world. So we are being spiritually processed. Whether you're saved or you're not saved, you're being processed for another life. And although God is the master choreographer of every life, it's fair to say that life is, in every sense of the word, a process. Our lives are refined and processed every day by the events, the words, the actions, and ultimately, our attitudes all are reflected in this process of living. And it starts from childhood, and it goes all the way through adulthood until we leave this place. Life processes us, and we become ultimately who we are. Right now, you are who you are because of the process of this life and the spiritual life, and the spiritual life as well. Now, the same is true in the spiritual realm. Our text, though, is wonderful because it gives us the details of the spiritual processing that God's chosen people go through. To be clear, this text is referring only to God's elect people, the children of God, the saints, the believers, the Bible believers, those who live for Christ. It's speaking directly to them. Worldlings, heretics, tares, weeds, cultists, the irreverent, the ungodly, list goes on and on. For all of those, in other words, outside of Christ, you are not being spiritually processed by God's Holy Spirit. You're being spiritually processed, but not by his Spirit. And that's because the rejection of Jesus Christ for the sacrifice of all sin in your life, that rejection, God has given them over or given them up to Satan, the devil, for processing. Sounds weird, hard to believe, hard to hear. But the devil does the processing for those who are not for God. I have a proof first that backs that up. God says in John 8:44, God incarnate says, you're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. So if you're outside of Christ, then believe this or not, you don't have to, but it is the truth. God said it himself. You're being processed spiritually by the devil. Difficult to hear. I mean, before I was saved, if you said that to me, I'd probably walk out and say, this guy's nuts. But it's true, because by the time I got in my car, I'd think about some of the things I did, and only the devil would have made me do those things. I think that's what that old comedian used to say.
The devil made me do it.
God says rejecting Christ means you'll be you'll be spiritually processed by Satan. If you die in that state, in the state of rejection of Christ, if you die in that state, you will be processed into eternity with him, with Satan. Revelation 20:10-15. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's a real place, by the way. It's a real place. We don't ever die. We cease to exist in this world, and we're transported to another world. Now, there's some people who say, wow, that's out of this world. Everybody knows God in their heart. Everybody knows the Ten Commandments in their heart. And the reason I know they know them is because the Bible says they're written there in places where they never heard of the word Christ or the Bible. The Ten Commandments are there. No civilization can exist killing each other, not coveting, stealing, cheating, lying. Doesn't exist anywhere. The law of God is written on all men's hearts. They know. So you may not want to hear it, you may not agree to it, but the fact is, God said it himself, that those outside of Christ will be processed by the devil. Now, you can take that or leave it, but that's what God says. And only those who are spiritually processed by the Lord Jesus Christ, only them who accept Christ's sacrifice, only them will be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those not processed by Christ will not be found in the book of life. And I'm reading Revelation 20:10-15. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Anyone not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. I said that. The book of life is a metaphor. There's no books in heaven. You have a God who knows is the sum of all knowledge. It's a metaphor for those who accept Christ's sacrifice. If you're in that book, if you've accepted Christ as your, if you want to live a life that's really worth living, that really is the only way to live, you have to know Christ. And if you don't know him, then you're existing every day. And why are you existing? Because you want to live tomorrow. Why do you want to live tomorrow? Because you want to live the next day. And you want to do it in comfort. You want to do it in a house. You want to, all of those things have no meaning in a sense, in the eternal sense, none. Because one day you're going to leave them all behind. I told the Bible study this morning, I had three people around my house die. They owned their house for many, many years. They raised families. There were young people in that house. Now they're dead. Now new people are owning their property. We're just tenants here. There's another place we're going. We're not just going in the ground and rotting. It's not a dirt nap that doesn't exist except in the mind of unbelievers. That's what they want to believe. Doesn't happen. And if you don't believe that, do a little check on biology and see what God did in making a human being. All the wonderful, you heal yourself. Do you understand that? My car doesn't heal itself. I got to spend $200 to get my car fixed. God made a body for me that fixes itself. I catch a cold, I get better. We're wonderfully and fearfully made. We're not just put here for 20, 30, 50, 100 years and then we die and that's the end of it. Poppycock, if you think that, you really are fooling yourself. And only those who are spiritually processed by Christ will inherit eternal life. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And every single person outside of Christ knows the wrath of God abides on him. And guess how? Because they're all afraid to die. Why do you think this pandemic is so out of control? Because everybody's afraid to die. Not that you want to die, but the fact is you should never be afraid to die, because this is not your life. Now, for those of you who do not know Christ, you have to ask yourself a question. What is the big deal about Jesus? The big deal about Jesus is that he came to earth. He didn't have to come to earth. You celebrate Christmas. The word Christmas has Christ in it. Christ celebration. He came so that you'd have life, not death. Not meaning physical death, but spiritual death. And the only possible way that you can get out of the death that you were inherited through Adam's sin. We call it original sin. It's real as rain. The only way you can do that is through Jesus Christ. Listen, you're a sinner. We're all sinners. We're sinners. You're still going to be a sinner if you get saved. You're still going to be a sinner. You just won't practice it. You're a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous. There's none who seek after God. None. You're not going to go looking for God, but he might be calling you. He might be calling you. If you feel right now that there's something in your heart by what I'm saying, that's a stirring. He might be stirring your heart. Or maybe he'll even call you today. Maybe you'll leave this church and drive home and say, that guy was crazy. But, you know, he's right. I do know what the devil does because I've been with the devil. I didn't look at it that way because I thought it was just being bad. But it's not. Everybody here knows that. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, understand this. You've never been forgiven of anything, but all your sins are forgiven if you repent of them and you ask him to come into your life and to lead you through this life. Now, let me tell you something. That doesn't mean you're not going to bleed. Doesn't mean you're not going to cry or you're not going to be in a lot of pain. Doesn't mean that at all. It simply means he'll show you how to handle it so it has as little effect as possible. That's what it does. He doesn't change that. He's immutable. He never changes. He has a plan. Plan is you're going to suffer, then you're going to suffer. But he's going to help you through that suffering in ways right now you can't imagine. And I can tell you that, and any born-again believer can tell you that, because we all suffered as unbelievers, and then once we got saved, everything changed. Everything changed. You know, I'm not real big on this new lingo with the internet and all this other stuff, but the word upgrade is good in this case. You upgrade to Christ, and there ain't no other upgrade after that. You know, you upgrade with all these other programs, and every 3 months they want you to upgrade to another one. You upgrade with Jesus Christ, you don't upgrade with anything else. That's it. You got it all right there. And then you don't have to be anxious about anything, because you'll know, because you'll have the mind of Christ, what's causing all the problems in your life. And what's causing all the problems in your life mainly is yourself. Because we're all out of control. As soon as we're old enough to make decisions for ourselves and live our own life, we start being out of control. There's not one person listening to this that hasn't done that. I'm not saying you keep it up or you do it all the time, but you're out of control. When you're with Christ, the word submit means that you submit your life to Christ. Simply means this. This book, when I first got saved, I looked at it, I said, fat chance I have of understanding all this stuff. There's so much in here. But as I opened it up, I didn't realize that 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that I have the mind of Christ now. And lo and behold, when I read the book, it started to make sense. It wasn't just words, because now I had faith. That's a gift as well. Everything that comes from God is a gift to you. It's a gift because he loves you enough to send his son on that horrid cross to suffer your sins, not his sins. He was sinless. Your sins and my sins, all of his elect people's sins, was brought there for you. And so the choice you have to ask yourself is this morning. You're not going to seek God. He's got to seek you. If you feel him calling your heart, you feel him stirring your heart, listen. Listen to your heart. Listen to it. Because I got to tell you something. There's a lot of people that go to church. Right now, there's millions of people in a church just like this, they're filled to capacity, because this book isn't being brought out. What's being brought out is all the things that mass wants to hear. You don't hear messages like this everywhere, that's for sure. But if you're listening to this and you know you're a sinner, you know that you haven't accepted Christ, then what you have to do is you have to ask yourself, do I want to live my life this way? And what if that guy's right? What if there is a hell? Once I'm dead, I can't. Those three people that live around me, they're in hell right now. I spoke to all three of them. They didn't want anything to do with God. And I can guarantee you right now, they remember the last words I said. I said to them, I'm giving you the gospel, and I know you don't believe, but I absolutely guarantee you that there will come a point in time when my words will echo in the outer darkness that you're living in. And that's exactly what happened. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make you aware that you are a spiritual being. You are under the influence of the devil, original sin, and you need to get rid of the devil and the sin. And a simple way to do that is to live your life as best you can every day for the Lord Jesus Christ. The book, this book is like Chilton's repair manual for an automobile. It gives you all the inside instructions on how to do it. And so you use the book and you walk. Yeah, you're going to trip. You're going to fall. You're going to sin. No one's perfect. But ultimately what's going to happen is God is going to bless you. Because why? Because you're trying to please him. And you can't please him with money. You can't please him with the church. By going to church, you can't please him by going out. There's none righteous, the Bible says. No matter what you do, you can't please him in any way. The only way you can please him is to go to that cross, go underneath it, and say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Help me. Help me. You do that, and your life will upgrade in ways. You ask anybody that's saved, will upgrade in ways you can't even imagine. And if you don't do that, I beg you with all my heart, if you're listening online, make every day here count, because every day is the best it will ever be for you without Christ. It's now. On the other hand, if you want to know more about how you can come to know Christ as your Savior, you see me or call me, and I'll be more than happy to show you in his word how he wants you to be processed by Jesus Christ. All right, now for God's elect children, the spiritual processing, for us, it began in eternity past, long before the worlds were formed. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. Well, you know what that means? That means that before time began, all of God's elect people were on his mind. You were always on God's mind. What a wonderful thought that is. Now, there's a lot of people who think, well, I love God. I go to church. I do this and I do that. Well, there's something in the Bible called election. It's a word that's hated by even a lot of Christians. Election. What does that mean? Well, we're getting ready for election. It means voted in. Well, in this sense, election means called. God calls his people. The election of God topped off in eternity past. He ordained us to be his people. Before the worlds were formed, he loved us. And then before the worlds were formed, he adopted us. He called us. He made our name sure in his book. Here's the verse that proves that. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose us. We didn't choose him. Before the foundation of the world, in eternity past, no time, no earth, no universe, just God. He said, Jean and Marie, David, Wink. Those were names, I'm metaphorically speaking. He knew your hearts, your souls, because he knew he was going to create, he was going to create you, and he was going to create you for his kingdom. That's what the processing is all about. Yay! Then at a time of his choosing, and I hope for some of you listening that don't know Christ, at a time of his choosing, that's God's, our spiritual processing began when God called us out of the world. I was 49 years old. Before I was saved, 49 years, I did what I wanted. I was out of control. I admit it. I did whatever I wanted legally. I'd always put my feet right up to the edge of the law. I'd say, okay, I could go there. But I'd never go over because I didn't ever want to get in trouble. I would go right up to the edge of the law. Whatever I wanted to do, I do. Did things blow up in my face? Not every day, but pretty often. Yeah, because I was out of control. In the sense being, no more than you're out of control. And that you're doing things based on your emotion, based on what you feel at the time, based on having too much pizza, whatever it is that's causing it. You're out of control the same way we were all out of control. But when that day came that he called me out, I'll never forget it. I was told that God, Jesus Christ died for my sins. I heard that from evangelists for, I don't know, coming to my store. They'd knock, yeah, you know, Jesus died for you. And you know, you're going to go to hell. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, you got 2 minutes. What else? You want to buy something while you're here? You know, I don't care. I had no interest, none. I didn't. But there came a point in time. On February 23rd, 1997, Pastor I was teaching him how to woodcarve and paint, told me the story about Christ dying for me. And the first thing out of my mouth was, who told him to do it? I didn't tell him to do it. Why would he die for me? Who would die for me? And so I went home and he said, okay, you don't want to believe it. Don't believe it. You got a Bible? Yeah. Turn to the Gospel of John and start reading that. I said, okay, sure. I didn't get the Bible. I asked my wife if she had one. She said, yeah. I said, well, forget about it. We don't need it. But all night long, that haunted me. Why would anybody die for me? Why? And then the next morning, we had a family problem with my mother-in-law. And I don't know why to this day. I told my wife, I said, you know, I want you to go tell your mother that we're sorry. She, I had to pick her up off the floor because that went on for 2 years. I told her, if I ever see you, don't be near me, because I could have been a little volatile, or at least very volatile, mouthy, you know. But I said, go tell your mom we're sorry and we want to restore our relationship. And she looked at me and she said, are you crazy? I said, nope, that's what I want you to do. Go do it. So she did. And at 2:45 that afternoon on February 23rd, 1997, thank you, June, 1997, my wife parked her car in a parking lot across the street from my studio. She walked across the street, she walked in the door, and her eyes were just swollen, and you could see her face was tear-stained. And the moment I looked in her face, I knew that the only one that needed forgiving was not my mother-in-law, it was me, because Christ died for me. That was the day I was called. I'd heard the story 100 times, never mattered. But at that particular point in time, at 49 years old, that's when God called me, and that's all I wanted to do was know God. I never read a book. I have a GED, of course, but I wasn't a big book reader. I wasn't saved a month, and I was already in a Bible college taking courses in Greek, of all things, right? Original Greek. Figure it out. That's what calling does. It changes your life dramatically. Yeah, I don't do everything perfect even now, but I have an upgrade in life that those of you outside of Christ will never know. And it's sad, because you sit and you hear it. People will maybe give you tracts. You maybe turn and watch a televangelist, and you miss the whole point. God wants to process you spiritually. He doesn't want the devil to do it, but you have to just open your heart to him, and you'll only do it if he called you out. And I pray that today would be the day of that, the election day. Consider it election day for you, if it is. And then in Colossians 1:13, we see that the time of his choosing, our spiritual processing, begins when he calls us out of the world. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. Simply put, what that means is I was on his left side and he took me out of there and he put me on his right side, so that at judgment day, I'll be a sheep and not a goat. It simply means on judgment day, I will be in the first resurrection with that means that I have life in Christ. So important, life in Christ. Now the gifts, you know, God is a very generous God. He doesn't just say, okay, now you're saved. You're my son or you're my daughter now. And okay, here's my book. Go ahead and read it. There's a church down the road. Try to get in there and see if you can figure it all out. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that at all. You know what he does? He gifts us with unimaginable gifts. After establishing us into his divine family, which he does in Ephesians 2:19, tells us, you're member, once you know Christ, you're members of the household of God. It says, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And then he gives you the gifts. First thing he does is he gives you faith. Ephesians 2:8, for you're saved by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. And then you know what else he does? He commits spiritual surgery. You ever hear that before? Spiritual surgery. Ezekiel 36:26. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. What he's simply saying is there's going to be a new principle in your life you're going to live by. A new principle in your life. And I'm giving you my Holy Spirit to do it. And then in addition to that gift, he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control, that was a big one for me. But they're all big ones. Why? Because they're unconditional. When I love somebody today, I love them unconditionally. I love a brother or sister unconditionally. In other words, there's no, I don't care what they do. They, if they offend me, they have the responsibility to repent of it. And if they don't, God will take care of them. I don't have to. That's the wonderful thing about God. He gives you everything you need. I don't know if any of you ever have ever been in combat. I was in the military. I wasn't in armed combat. I was on an aircraft carrier. But I can tell you this. When I hit general quarters, you know exactly what to do and where to go. That's what happens to the equipment that God gives you. He gives you the fruit of the Spirit and allows you to use that through your life to get through anything. And you can. And the important point is not just to get through it, but to get through it with peace, to get through it with understanding. This COVID thing, people say, well, I don't know what happened, this, that, and the, I don't know what happened either, but I know why it happened. That's all I care about. I only care why it happened. It happened because God wanted it to happen, because if he didn't, it wouldn't have happened. It's simple. And nobody dies before their time. Nobody does. We all know that. Bible says there's a time to live and a time to die, time to be born and a time to die. And that's why I have that understanding. So guess what? That brings me great peace. Wouldn't that bring you great peace if you knew something was happening and you didn't understand it and it was negative or seen to be negative? And even that, Romans 8:28 says nothing in my life is negative. Even the negative stuff is good. Even the negative stuff is good. And finally, we're spiritually processed with the gift of spiritual weapons. I like this because I like to shoot. I like to hunt. I'm a hunter. Spiritual weapons. And we have marching orders. They're stand fast. That's my marching order as a Christian, and it'll be yours too. Be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, 10, and 11. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. It's not my might. I have no strength at all. God has all the power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, we don't fight against flesh and blood. I told the Bible study today, we're never to do that. The last thing in the world a Christian should ever do is have their life ended in gunfire because they were trying to stop somebody from giving them a shot. Whatever it is, don't do it. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers. We fight against the devil. We fight against the evil that's within ourselves. All the time. That's part of the spiritual processing that we go through. And we have marching orders. In life, what marching orders did I have before I got saved? Let me see. Make as much money as I can. Enjoy myself as much as I can. Make sure I keep myself healthy enough to make it to the next day. You want to know something that I realized one day? I was outside hunting. I was in the woods. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about that. And I saw a couple of animals. I saw a couple of squirrels, and they were running around gathering nuts, putting them here and there. I was no different than them. They do the same thing. They get up in the morning and they go looking for food. They store the food away. Then they go up in a tree and they rest. Then they go get a bite to eat. Then they go back and they just want to do it again tomorrow. And that's all I was doing. That's what life is without God. It has no purpose, believe it or not. You're not doing anything except storing up wrath for the day of judgment. There's nothing there. Our marching orders, fight the good fight of faith. I used to like the confrontation a little bit. And so for me, those marching orders were wonderful. And I got to fight against not people, but I got to fight against myself and the devil. And I got to tell you, the track he put me on, I did a lot of it, and I'm still doing it now. The devil lived in my garage, I think, for 2 weeks one time, at one stint. Seems like he was there just tempting me, torturing me, trying to get me to just break down, but I wouldn't do it. I fought the good fight of faith because I let my faith do all the fighting. No, kept saying no, I wasn't going to do those things that I was being led or tempted to do. Those are our marching orders. And by the way, our conformity to Christ is, if you notice in our thing, predestination, okay? The word predestination means foreordained. It was foreordained that you would be called to reflect the image of Christ. Now, the transformation process from unsaved to saved, several ways God takes us once we're saved, several ways he transforms a regenerate soul into the image of Christ. First of all, our nature. Whether you like this or not, or believe this or not, to begin with, God imputes his elect with a carbon copy of the divine nature. Proof first, 1 Peter 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You know what that means? That means the mind of Christ. That means that I have the ability to see the things of God and conform my nature through the events that take place in my life, conform my nature as a model, using Christ as the model to do it. And I would add that being born again stamps us being born again stamps us with the image of Christ in the same way our first birth stamped us with the image of Adam. When you came into the world, you had Adam's sin, and you were stamped with it. When you get born again, that's what it means, born again. You're a new creature. Now you're stamped with the image of Christ. And next is our relationship to God. I'm not going to be long. Another way we're spiritually processed is by a relationship. Jesus is the Son of God. And this is an important distinction. Jesus is the Son of God, and through his blood, all of his disciples are also the children of God. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You're adopted. In our actions, I dare say our actions are the principal way that God uses to conform us to the image of Christ. Proof first, Ezekiel 26:27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So you're going to be obedient. Christ's obedience was imputed to you. Now, we may not always obey, but we won't practice sin. 1 John 3:9 says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he is born of God. It's only when we walk in God's word that we can feel the image of Christ transforming us. When you walk with God, you feel God. You feel him in your life. You feel the power. You feel the resurrection power. You do things you could never normally do. How many of you have ever been in perfect peace for any length of time, a month, you had troubles, you dealt with life, things happened, but how many of you kept that peace during all that time? It's hard to do. There's no peace in the world, real peace. But you can have that here with Christ. The more glory of the Lord we see in us, the more of that you see, and you see all around you, the more we're transformed. Listen to Philippians 3:18. But we all, with the unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of our Lord. We're being transformed by what he's doing in our life every day. In our life experiences, that's another one. It conforms us into Christ. You know you're at war with yourself, right? Everybody knows that. We all fight with ourselves about different things. When you wage war as someone being spiritually processed by God, when you wage war against your will, you are conforming to Christ's image. Proof verse is Romans 7:22. And 24:25, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see my members law waging war against the law of my mind. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I fight every day a civil war inside of me. My flesh wants to do something. It wants to do something, maybe hear something, or I see something that I want that I shouldn't have, or I hear something that I shouldn't hear, and I entertain it. That's what wants to happen, but I cut it off. I won't do it. And the reason is because there's nothing profitable for me spiritually or physically in any sin. Nothing. You can sit there, you can enjoy yourself. You can say, well, I did this and this and it was fun while it lasted. No, it wasn't, because you'll pay for it later on. You know, they say there's no such thing as a free lunch. In the spiritual realm, there's no such thing as getting away with sin. They're all recorded. And you'll pay for each and every one of them without Christ. But only that blood, if you have that blood, they're all done. They're all paid for. And it's only when we live by God's word that we feel like there's a new creature within us. There's a new being, a new influence in our lives that causes us to think differently, do things differently, react differently. All of these things are affected because we're new creatures in Christ. And it's only when I resist sin and the bondage of sin, by the way, even as a believer, David was in bondage to sin for almost a year before God got it out of him.
Disconnected.
When I resist that, though, I feel God's blood. I feel his blood. Every time I cut the head off sin and I don't, a temptation, and I say, no, I'm not doing it. Every single time I do that, metaphorically speaking, I feel Christ's blood racing through me, just going right through me. Thank you, Lord. I do that all the time. Thank you, Lord. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Before I was saved, if those things, those temptations came in my life, first thing I do is I look at the clock and say, huh, I got time for that. And then maybe I say, check my wallet. Yeah, I got a few bucks for that. Maybe let me think. Yeah, I think I'm going, right? Not anymore. Done. We don't do that. You cut it off. When we consider the trials and tribulations and temptations in our life as opportunities rather than adversities, when we look at life that way, we're conforming ourselves to the image of Christ. The attitude also, or that attitude also confirms to us that we are being processed in the image of Christ. Suffering of any type, physical suffering, mental suffering, spiritual, they're all tools God uses to conform his children into the image of Christ. Philippians 1:29 declares, for it has been granted to you, it's a gift, to suffer for Christ, that you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. We're all going to suffer, but when you suffer for Christ, it just reaps benefits. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Those decisions ultimately work out for your good. I'm just telling you all the stuff that God does for his people. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I have hope. What hope do you have without Christ? You hope for the next day. You hope the money doesn't run out. You hope the health holds up. That's all you hope for. Why? Because that's all you got. There's nothing else. Now, predestination, that is the foreordained will of God, is the energizing force that God uses to conform us to his son. To be clear, God's will, it's God's will that we conform to Christ. It's not our will. Our natural will is hostile to God. If you don't know Christ, I've talked to 100 people. Oh, I love God, I love God. Then let me talk to you about the Bible. Oh, I don't want to do that now. That's hostility. That's hostility. Or if they do talk about it, and you tell them, well, where'd you get that from? It's not in the Bible. Well, that's what they teach us. I say, well, if it's not in the Bible, what good is it? Well, I don't get it. You know, I had enough of this. That's hostility. Passive, but it's hostility. And then after we're regenerated, that is after we're saved, we want to please God. It's foreordained. We're not to be passive. We have to work at that. I just told you, you have to cut off sin. We have to be passive. We can't be passive. We must work. Philippians 2:12 says we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And 13, it says he works in us so we can work out. That simply means his providential doors open up, we walk through them, and then as we're walking through them, events happen, conversations take place, we meet people, we get sick, we get profitable, whatever it is happens, we work out our salvation on whatever he gives us. And that's a good way to look at it. Before I got saved, I used to look at my life like, for 1 week I had Murphy's Law, for 1 week I did everything I wanted to do, another week I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And then the following week, I guess I tried something dumb. The point is, there was no plan. Now, with God, I have a plan. I have to fight the good fight of faith. I have to put on the full armor of God, which simply means that I have to live for Jesus as much as I can every single day. And I can hope. Now I have the hope in his resurrection. He lived. There's more proof that Jesus Christ lived and died and resurrected than there is that George Washington crossed the Delaware. And if you can believe that George Washington crossed the Delaware, it shouldn't be a big leap for you to believe 500 people testified that they saw him at his resurrection, after he resurrected. Josephus, the prophet, recorded that he was Jesus and that he was put to death on a cross. All of it's true. You just have to
half a mile.
That's where you need God to call you. If you're listening, but if you're there, if you are there, you can't be passive. Whatever you do, you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that is far better than just living day by day. Now, let me just finish with this. The reason that we're being conformed. In the last section of our text, we find the reason why we're being conformed. In order that we might, he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many what? What's it say? Brothers. I like that. That's really cool. He's the firstborn of many brothers. People don't get that. But you know, Jesus Christ was 100%. He was one person, but he had two natures. It's called a hypostatic union. He had a divine nature and he had a human nature. He said, I go to my father and your father. He was speaking as Jesus to me. When you get to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, is there, but so is Jesus the man. You're his brother. You're his brother. Many brothers. And it may be even another interpretation might be, well, you know, maybe it's talking about all the brothers. Who cares? I belong to him and he belongs to me. I'm in him and he's in me. I don't know if I'm not that close to my natural brother. It's good. God predestines us to be Christ-like so that he might be the first of a new order of beings nearer to God than any other. I would remind you, God does not have any kinship with angels. They're servants. He didn't die for them. If they sinned against him, a third of them did, they went to hell. There's no relationship, nothing. No intimate relationship with any other creature on this earth except mankind. Only man has been given the privilege of having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps that's the reason why he gets so angry when people reject him, because of what he had to go through in order to be here, to pay for our sins.
I have no idea where you've always been.
The object of his grace is that the Lord Jesus will have brothers and sisters to fellowship with in glory. You and I will be there with him in glory. And note that the text doesn't say that he might be the firstborn among many. Doesn't say that. Rather, it declares he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That means Jesus, the God-man, is not only God. The Bible says he's also our friend and he's our brother. That's why I tell you, every one of the elect is a blood relative of Christ, and we are all blood related to each other, all the saints in glory. The message I'd like you to take home is that God is spiritually processing every aspect of your life to make you joint heirs with Christ in his kingdom. That's what he's doing. So relax. Just relax. Your life through the spiritual processing lens instead of the fleshly lens all of us tend to gravitate to. And to help you with that, I leave you with the words of Christ in John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. Living for Jesus, living with Christ for all eternity. That's the blessing of the cross. That's the gospel message. The blood was shed that you might have that wonderful opportunity to spend eternity with the living God. Let's pray.
All right, girls, same card.
Father, we do thank you for all the blessings that you give us. And we know, Lord, that at one time none of us were saved. It was a calling that you put on our life. And I do pray, Lord, for those that are listening, that you might put a calling on anyone's life who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. And I pray also, Lord, in thanksgiving for all the things you do as you process us in Christ, all the ways you move in our lives, the blessings you give us, the opportunities you give us, all of it comes because you love us so much. No greater love there could ever be in this world than Jesus Christ loving us and dying for us. God, thank you so much. I pray that this message of salvation, this message of this gospel message would burn in people's hearts, both the saved and unsaved, for the saved or as a reminder of just what was given, that they might have all the wonderful gifts and all the blessings that come from the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all of it. We pray in his name. Amen. Closing hymn, I got that one on the bulletin, right? Is 585 in the red hymnal. Take my